Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Amen. And forget not his benefits. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all of our diseases. He redeems my life from destruction. He crowns me, all of us, with loving kindness and tender mercies. He fills my mouth with good things. Hallelujah. With good things. So that my youth is renewed as the eagles. So Lord, we thank you for your wonderful mercy and grace towards us. God, it's just, I mean, we can't comprehend it fully in our lives, but we thank you so much for your mercy towards us. Father, we pray for Pop Dempsey. We pray, Lord, that you would minister to him right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray, I think the best way we can pray is that you would give him the desire of his heart. If he wants to go on home to be with the Lord, and then we stand with him for that. If not, he wants to stay. Then we thank you, Lord, for healing in his life and his body. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Either way, Lord, we thank you for healing in his body. We pray for Debbie. We pray for others that may be experiencing these crazy flu symptoms or whatever it may be. We come against it, we stand against it, we take authority over it, over every person who is a part of Abundant Life Center, every family that's represented here. We come against the enemy, we come against the spirit of sickness and disease. Infirmities, yes, that's the word I wanted. The spirit of infirmity that would try to come upon families, individuals, in Jesus' name. We are the Abundant Life Center, and we believe, Lord, that your life has been given to us abundantly in the name of Jesus, and we walk in that, and we take authority over the enemy that tries to steal, kill, and to destroy in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we also pray, lift up our nation this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your protection. We thank you for healing. We thank you, Lord, for revival that's already happening. We thank you for a greater revival throughout our land, and not only in this land, but throughout the world as the gospel goes forth. We thank you, Lord, that what has happened in the last couple months would not die down, but it would increase into a greater revival in this land and a restoration of this land in the name of Jesus. We believe, Father, that you have made a covenant and that our forefathers made a covenant with you. And we thank you, Lord, for that covenant. And we know you're a covenant-keeping God. And you said if we humble ourselves before you, that you would heal our land. We believe our land is being healed in the name of Jesus. We pray for protection, especially during these times. We pray for protection from any terrorist activity in Jesus' name. We pray for protection over our leaders, over President Trump, over all his cabinet, over the ones, the senators and the representatives and all the leaders in our land. Yes. At whatever level of leadership, we pray for blessing on their lives, regardless if we agree with them or not, Lord. We thank you that you are blessing them, because it's the blessing of the Lord that will bring them to you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your protection. The enemy cannot steal, kill, and destroy, because we have the protection of the Word of God. In Jesus' name. Pray for our area here in York County. We pray, we thank you, Lord, for revival that's happening. We thank you for all the different churches that are meeting today, churches that are preaching the Word of God. We pray there would be a manifest outpouring presence of your Holy Ghost in their midst in the name of Jesus. We thank you that pastors and leaders will rise up and take a stand for the truth and the Word of God. And we thank you that they will be preaching the Word of God today throughout this land. And we thank you that your people are going out every day, sharing the gospel and being your hands and your feet in Jesus' name. We lift up the name of Jesus. We lift up the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He is good, isn't he? Amen. I want to talk some more about vision today. I know I've been talking about it last week, and I felt that maybe we would do something different this week, but I just didn't have peace about not sharing some more things about in that area. I might share some of the same things, but like I told you before, I am delivered from the fear of repetition. But look at your bulletin. I want to just shout out to Donna, the way she does the bulletin stuff. Right? Come on, give her a hand. She does such a good job. She is a bird lover, and so am I. And then Kathy as well. But I love birds. I usually have a feeder out. I haven't had a feeder out for like 5 years now because we have so many squirrels. They eat all the stuff, and I wish I could somehow find something. And I haven't found anything that squirrels can't get into because they're too smart. They're like crazy, but they're interesting to watch sometimes, but we have way too many around our house. So maybe I should believe for some hawks to come around, I don't know. But look what she has here. She has this picture of a indigo bunny. How many of you knew, if you were to see a picture like that, how many of you know what kind of bird it is? Yeah, a few of you. This is not a bluebird. This is not a bluebird, this is an indigo bunny. Huh? Yeah, she took the picture. It's one of your pictures, right? And they're pretty rare around here. You don't see a lot around here. I've seen a few in the years. Now, bluebirds, you see a lot of bluebirds. And I could tell you stories about bluebirds, but we will not this morning. But it's just really neat how she researched this and how the scripture that was used here really ties in with what we've been talking about. So it's from Proverbs 3. It says, trust in the Lord completely and don't depend on your own knowledge. With every step you take, think about what he wants. That's a good one. Think about what he wants. It's usually what I want. And he will help you go the right way. Don't trust in your own wisdom, but fear and respect the Lord and stay away from evil. If you do this, it will be like a refreshing drink and medicine to your body. And then she goes on and talks about this bird. You can read it on your own. But it's interesting what she wrote here. The indigo bunny, when it migrates at night. Well, that's interesting. I never knew that. So you did know something I didn't know about birds. They migrate at night because they follow the stars. So if they would migrate during the day, they wouldn't be able to see the stars. And she uses it as an example here of how we follow the King of Kings and we follow the star, Jesus Christ, in our lives. And sometimes in dark times, we just look to the star. Amen? And he's the one who guides us and directs us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word of God. Do I need to mention anything else before I go on? We had a wonderful men's breakfast yesterday. We have every second Saturday of the month, Brad and Ralph cook up some really good food and stuff. And we just had a great time yesterday of sharing. We do things different times. Sometimes we share more from the word. Yesterday it was just different ones sharing a little bit. It was interesting. We had like three testimonies talking about someone. Ralph shared about his dad, that he found the Lord on his deathbed just before he died. May I share a little bit? He was in a coma. If I don't have it correct, you tell me. But he was in a coma, and Ralph went in and was talking to him, and I don't know how long he was talking to him, and Ralph had a rough life with his dad. And he was talking to him, the nurse came in and said something about, oh, you're still here. And he said, yeah. He said, I have a lot of things to say to my dad. And he was in a coma. Well, the nurse said, keep talking, he hears you. And he was talking to him about the Lord and receiving the Lord. And then he woke up for what, 2 hours before he passed? 2 hours. And in those 2 hours, I guess the family was around him. And he looked at Ralph and said, "I got saved." And so he got saved right at that time when Ralph was talking to him. Isn't that awesome? And then there was two others like that. That, you know, God is so merciful. That's kind of the theme we had yesterday of how merciful he is. I mean, the Corinthians tells us there will be people when they get to heaven, they have no fruit or anything to show that they serve God on the earth. And it's people like that. They got saved on their deathbed, but God still welcomes them in. Hallelujah. And do you know God loves the worst person in the world as much as he loves us? And that makes my mind go tilt. I mean, the worst terrorists in the world, he loves them. And he wants them to get saved. When we were, years ago, when we were teaching at a Bible school in India, this would have been in the 90s, I think, we had an opportunity after we had taught in the Bible school, we'd go to a church. So we were up in northern India. We drove out to a place where they were starting this church, and they were going to build a church building, about an hour ride on the bus. And the person there, one of the persons there, or part of the family, I guess, he was a terrorist. And he was a terrorist where Punjab State and Pakistan, India and Pakistan, are kind of claiming the same land in Kashmir, and especially Kashmir and Punjab State, which borders Pakistan. So this young man was instrumental in killing 100 people. I can imagine that. They would stop buses on the road and get everybody out, and those, if that weren't for their cause, they would shoot him right there. 100 people. He got born again. He was at Bible school. I mean, God just does stuff. And he has so much mercy. And he's a preacher today. As far as I know, he's a preacher today. Serving God. So what I'm saying is God is merciful. And let's we be merciful to people as well. Let's show them the mercy of God. All right. So what I was saying is men's breakfast. We had a great time. So I would encourage you men to come out Saturdays and times of fellowship. Also, I thank this congregation again and again for the generosity. As you see in your bulletin, we have received $3,401 for, where's Alan? Where is Alan? He was here. For his trip. And he needed $3,000 for his expenses. And then we're believing for $1,800 to help pay for 3 pastors' conferences. So as Donna puts it here, our goal is we still need $1,399. So just do what God tells you. We have 2 more weeks to receive funds for that. And we know it's such a awesome thing to help raise up leaders in these areas. And it's so needed. That's why we go many times, is to train and teach leaders, pastors, and that's such a need. And we thank God that we can be a part of that. All right, now I think we're ready to move on. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, turn there with me. You know the scripture. Lord, as we enter a time of sharing your word, we thank you for the word of God, that it is firm and sure, that the foundation of the word will never be shaken, because you're never shaken, Lord. And Lord, if we build that into our lives today, it will cause us to be in a place where we can stand and not be shaken in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Holy Spirit. We thank you that he is our teacher. We thank you Holy Spirit will take the word of God and cause it to come alive on the inside of us. And I thank you, Lord, that your words will come forth through my mouth and it will minister grace and truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So a very familiar scripture. Proverbs 29, verse 18. You know what it says? Where there is no vision, is that the one? Do you already have it? Somebody read it for me.
Where there is no vision, the people perish, but happy is he who
heeds. So it's very clear that we need vision in our lives. And I might say some of the same things I said last week, but that's okay. You know, I've seen people retire, and maybe at the age of 65, they want to retire, and they can't hardly wait until that day. And so they retire, and they just kind of sit around, and you ask them what they're doing. Oh, nothing really. And you know, I've seen many people like that, maybe not at 65, but at 70 and so on, and they soon pass away because they have no vision in their life. We need something to live for. I have my family to live for. In 2015, I was 2 hours from death. I don't know if I've shared maybe bits and pieces of this. In 2015, I was only what? What was I in 2015? There were 62. And I don't know what it was, Dr. Joe, that they thought it was my gallbladder. And so they took that out. And when they took it out, there was nothing wrong with it. And I just filled up with fluids, and my body was wearing itself out. And one night when I was in the hospital, they had transferred me to a different place. People were praying. I have a sister-in-law that was especially praying that night, interceding. And she said, "Lord, send somebody onto the floor that knows what to do." And so two doctors came on the floor, not for me. They weren't there because of me. But this is how God works. And this is how he answers prayer. It was a urgent care doctor and an internal medicine doctor. So they came, and the nurse right away came up to the doctors and said, "There's a gentleman over here that needs to see you, that you need to see." And so they came into my room. And this is divine connections. Somebody prayed. And the doctor told me before I went home, I was in the hospital 3.5 weeks, was it that? And before I came home, a couple of days before, he came into my room and he said, "You know, I'm the doctor that saved your life." I said, "Well, yeah, I know you did, but God also had something to do with it." And he was like, cordial, he didn't, you know, give me a rebuttal or anything like that. But we talked a little bit, and he said, "Well, you were 2 hours from death." He said, "Your body was totally wearing itself out." I don't know what my heartbeat was and all that. I don't know all that, Dr. Joe, but maybe you would. But I thank God because I still had something to live for. I still had vision. I didn't feel like God was finished with me yet.
Hallelujah.
And I guess this is one of the reasons I'm here. He wasn't finished with me yet. But we have things to live for, and therefore we all need vision in our lives.
Yes.
We need something. It might not be this big grand thing of, yeah, I'm going to do all these things for God. No, it's just vision in your everyday life. Vision for your family. Vision for your kids. Vision for people around you. Vision to work for the Lord in whatever aspect he has you in. And that vision, or Bill Hake, the pastor Bill Hake, he used to call it purpose, I think.
Yes.
A lot about purpose. So we do have a purpose for God. We do have vision. We need to continue to maintain that. And sometimes vision will get buried in a person's life because of various things. And when we find people like that, and maybe you've been there as well at times, maybe because of disappointment or a failure or something. And when we find people like that, it is our responsibility. Randy was talking about leaders in the church and so on.
Overseers.
It's our responsibility to uncover that in people's lives and bring it back to the surface again. And maybe it's something that was from way in the past. but it's buried in there. And God still wants us to fulfill that. So let's look at a few things about vision. Vision, how does it come? Every person has a call. Every person has a purpose or vision. Some are covered because of various reasons or buried because of various reasons. How does vision come? We talked about last week that it can come at an early age. It can be something that's within you from the time you were born. And we go through life and we discover it. Maybe some people discover it early in life, and other people, maybe because of certain things, don't discover it till later in life. But just like God said to Jeremiah in chapter 1, he said that he was ordained from the womb.
Yes.
So apparently God makes us in a certain way.
He does.
And the way our personality is and the way we're made is an indicator or is a root of the vision or the purpose that God has for your life. Kathy, when she was a young girl, she had a vision to be a mother. Well, that vision was fulfilled. Now she's not only a mother, but also a grandmother. And it's so fun to have grandkids. Maybe not so fun to have kids. Sorry, kids. When I tell this to my kids, I mean, they're 50 and 40. And, they don't always like it. But I think you grandparents understand there's something about grandkids. Because we can always send them home.
Yeah, that's right.
And we can spoil them and send them home. That's what grandparents are for, right? But another person I think of in the Bible is Moses. I mean, the story of Moses tells us a lot about how God deals with vision in our lives. First of all, we know the story from Exodus. We know that Moses was born in a time when the Pharaoh had said that all the little boys had to be killed. All the Jewish little boys had to be killed because the Israelites lived in the land of Goshen and they are outnumbered. They basically outnumbered the Egyptians. They had grown because God said he would bless Abraham's seed. So they had grown and multiplied to the point where they basically outnumbered the Egyptians. And so Pharaoh was afraid that they would rise up. Fear will make you do awful things. That's hot off the press. Fear will make you do awful things. Just like Pharaoh, he was afraid. So he said, okay, tell them not to have children. Well, they had more children than ever because God blessed them. They didn't obey that because it wasn't in God's plan.
Right.
We don't obey evil things. We obey good things.
Right.
So he said, he saw that they weren't, they were still having a lot of children. So he said, okay, let's kill all the baby boys. And they did. I mean, they were doing that. And that's the place or that's in the setting. That's the setting that Moses was born in. So apparently Moses' parents, what were their names? You know them? You know the names?
Jochebed.
Jochebed was the mother, right? Yeah. So apparently they saw something in this child, or God witnessed to them or something, that this child had a calling or a special calling on its life. So, they put him in the river, put him in a little basket. This is amazing how God works this. Isn't it?
More than amazing.
So he's in this little basket and then he's crying. And can you imagine being the mother? You put this little basket in the Nile River. And you know where it's going to end up. So his sister Miriam, she was on the bank watching little basket float down the river. And then Pharaoh's daughter comes and, hears the crying. And she tells her maids to bring it in and sees and has pity on the baby. And takes the baby as her own. Raises the baby. Pays for the education. He is educated in all the ways of the Egyptians.
Yes.
So he had a great training when you think of earthly training. But on top of that, said, well, go find a babysitter for me. Miriam says, I can find a nanny for you.
Nurse,
nanny, whatever you want to call. And of course she goes and she says, okay, the Pharaoh's daughter says, okay, all right, go find me someone to take care of this baby. And who'd she bring? Her mom. You know the story. But we need to hear it again. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine being the mom?
Yes.
And here, you not only get your child back, but you get paid for raising your child.
Win-win.
And protection.
Win-win.
Yeah.
Free education.
Free education. But that's where Moses found out about his calling. How did he know he was a Jewish person as he grew up? By his mother, by his parents. Put that into him. And he understood what his calling was. He understood from his parents that his calling was to bring deliverance to the children of Israel.
Yes.
So then at the age of 40, he thinks, oh man, I'm this big hotshot. I mean, I'm going to go out and visit my people and I'm going to bring deliverance to them. So then there's a fight out there with, and he kills the Egyptian because he thinks that he's the deliverer. And he was. You know, sometimes we get ahead of our vision or ahead of the vision that God has for us and we mess it all up. Because we try to make it happen ourselves. And that's why I keep saying, be content where you are right now. And whatever you see in the future, just let it there. Pursue it, but at the same time, like we said, we entitled the message last week, be who you are wherever you are. And serve God at that place. And be faithful. And full of integrity. And God will take you a step at a time and bring you to the place that He wants you to be.
Yes.
He'll fulfill the vision He has for you. So then he goes and he kills the Egyptian. Next day he goes out again. He can't believe that they're fighting among themselves. So he says something. He tries to fix it. You know, sometimes we try to fix everything. Okay, men? Especially the men.
Yeah,
and there's ladies that way too. We try to fix everything. Your wife starts telling you about something that she's experiencing or something she's dealing with. And right away you want to fix it. And you get mad at her. I mean, she gets mad at you. She gets upset. Says, well, I want to fix it for you. No, I don't want it. I don't want you to fix it. I just want to tell you. So she just wants to tell you. I'm not saying God won't use it to fix it. But you know, when we deal with people, let's get in our heads, we can't fix people. You can't fix me. And I can't fix you. But we can minister to one another and allow God to do the fixing. Amen? If we would heed this in our marriages, many marriages would be healed. Because one or the other is trying to fix. You're trying to fix your spouse. And that doesn't work. I said it doesn't work.
Right.
I know I'm going to meddling, but that's all right. So in Exodus then, so he has to flee for his life. And he probably thinks, and then he's out here in this wilderness for 40 years, taking care of sheep. And he probably thinks, man, where's God? I mean, I thought I was called to do this thing, and look at me now. And I know he was questioning where God was, because when he approaches the burning bush and God speaks to him, he's like, he didn't even think God was out there. And all of a sudden God appears in the burning bush and he says, take your shoes off because you're on holy ground. All of a sudden he realizes God is there out in this deserted place. Maybe you feel deserted. Maybe you wonder where God is. He's still there. He's always there. Because He lives in us. You may feel like it or you may not feel like it. That has nothing to do with the presence of God in your life. Because He's in here. Everywhere I am, He is. Because He lives in here. So even the times when I'm down, times when I feel I'm forsaken, He's still here. Somebody needs that today. He's still there for you.
Yeah.
To work it out for you.
Never leave. Never forsake.
And He's the one who's going to bring it about.
Yes.
Amen. So what does God do? Did you notice that God doesn't really deal with the truth of the matter at that point? I don't know if he ever did or not. But he didn't come to Moses and say, "Now, Moses, you made a mistake back there. Why did you do that? If you wouldn't have done that, you wouldn't have had to be out here for 40 years. God never mentioned it. The first thing he did is he reminded him of his call. That's the first thing God, you can look at your, for yourself.
Right.
The first thing he did is he reminded Moses of the call that he had on his life way back when he was a child. So if you're in a place of disappointment, or if you're in a place where you think your vision is not going to be fulfilled because of the mistake you made, God, just ask God to forgive you and he forgives you.
Yes.
And he'll take you on. Preaching much better than you're saying amen.
That's good stuff. Amen.
Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 25. Acts chapter 7, verse 25, talking about Moses. It says in verse 22, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds.
Yes.
Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren and children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed," you have it there, Randy.
Yes.
Read verse 25.
"He supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand."
Hmm. So right here is what I was saying. He thought that they would understand his call. You know, a lot of times when we're moving forward in the things that God has us do or wants us to do, or the purpose or vision in our lives, maybe it long-term vision or short-term vision, a lot of times people don't understand. We will not fulfill the calling, the vision, or the purpose in our lives if we're afraid of what people are going to think.
That's right.
I'm not saying being obnoxious about stuff or anything like that. But you have to move forward in what you feel God is saying to you. And we will have opposition. Jesus said, you'll have persecution. I was persecuted, so you'll have persecution as well. Because we're his children. So there will be opposition. Sometimes it really hurts depending where that opposition comes from. But nonetheless, if we allow that to control us, and then make decisions accordingly, we will lose track of what God has called us to do.
Stay focused.
Stay focused. I like that. We stay focused. So like it says here, "For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them that were fighting and tried to reconcile them. Men, you are brethren, why do you wrong one another?" Guess we could say that about church people sometimes. Uh-oh. "But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?' Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight, and he drew near to observe the voice of the Lord that came to him, saying, 'I am the God of your fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.' And Moses trembled and dared not look. Then the Lord said to him, 'Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning, and I've come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. This Moses whom they rejected, saying, "Who made you a ruler or a judge?" is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. So it's a story of Moses, of how the vision that he had, or the call that God had put in his life, was uncovered, even though it was covered for 40 years through disappointment, consequences of decisions, and so forth. But no matter what God has called us to do, if we return to him or if we repent of anything that we did wrong, he will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. It may be a little different than what we thought, but God is faithful. He is always faithful. And as we enter the new year, let's help each other, or spur each other on, or admonish each other,
yes,
to fulfill the things that God has called us to do. Not only individually, but also as a congregation. You are a part of the congregation here at Abundant Life Center. Many of you have expressed that to me, and by your actions, we see that we're part of a congregation. And as a congregation, we also have a purpose. We also have vision. We also have things that God has called us to do.
Yes, that's right.
And we're going to do it together. We're a team. I'm a team person. You can't win a baseball game with one player, with just a pitcher and a catcher, or two players. You have a team. Of course, we're in the middle of football. 22 people on the field. Each side, 11 of them have one vision, the other 11 have another vision. Both sides have a vision of winning. But if you play defense and offense, the offense is, I'm getting a goal. We're going to get a touchdown.
Defense.
And the defense has a different vision. We're going to stop you. We're going to stop you.
That's right.
But you cannot win if you don't have teamwork. They cannot win if they don't have unity as a team. Sometimes you have the best players on a baseball team. You can have the best players, but if they don't have good chemistry in the clubhouse and so forth, they will not win. They usually don't win. Because sometimes there's a superstar, right? Sometimes there's a superstar, and he wants all the attention. And everybody in the clubhouse is, rah, 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 rah. There's no unity. Well, we don't want to be that way in the church. We don't want to be that way as a congregation. I'm talking about us as a congregation. We know there's a much wider church. We understand that. We're just a small part of the church in this area. But this small part, we are together, and we want to continue as one.
Yes.
We want to continue to have unity in the clubhouse.
Go ahead.
Because if we have unity in the clubhouse, we will make touchdowns.
Amen.
And by the way, the Eagles are going to win today. I don't know for sure. Mason, you have an Eagles shirt. All right.
He's a prophet.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I like to have fun with these things. You know, somebody says, well, can we pray? Can we pray? Let's just pray the Eagles win. I don't know. That might be praying amiss. I don't know. I don't think. But somebody said, well, yeah, but they're in the Bible. I mean, all over the Bible, it's eagles, you know. It's an eagle this and an eagle that. So they said they're scriptural, so they'll win. No. By the way, there is going to be a Super Bowl party here, and we invite you to be part of it. There's a paper, an envelope that you can pick up and fill it out. And that's a good time. I guess it is. I haven't been here before. But if the Eagles are in the Super Bowl, it'll be a great time. And those of you, no, I won't say that. Anyway, you know, God, we can have fun in church.
Indeed.
So what was I saying? Yeah, we got to have unity in the clubhouse.
It's a team game.
And we are flowing as a team. In a team, we pull together. When the quarterback throws an interception, not everybody goes up to him and says, ah, rah, 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 rah. No, they go out and says, come on, we're pulling for you. We're gonna make this up. The defense goes out and stops the other side, even though they had gotten the interception. It doesn't always happen, but you understand what I'm saying. And as a church, we cannot kill our own.
No turnovers.
We can't shoot the wounded. As a church, Pastor, myself, Donna, Kathy, you have our back.
Absolutely.
And we have your back.
Yes, amen.
And we're not going to stab you. And we don't expect you to stab us in the back.
Appreciate it.
Are you with me?
Yes.
We need to have unity. We need to flow together as one. We endeavor, since we're here, we are endeavoring, part of our vision for the new year, part of my part, endeavoring to bring us together in unity where we haven't been. Now, I'm not saying we haven't been in a lot of different areas, but I think we can have a greater teamwork.
Yes.
We can pull for one another. Amen? We're not looking back, we're looking forward. Have a greater teamwork. You know, when they go into the locker room at halftime, I would say the greatest coaches, they discuss, okay, what adjustments are we going to make?
Right.
And I don't think they look at all the mistakes or the fumbles or interceptions that were thrown at halftime. I think they go in there, if it's a good coach, he would go in there and says, hey, this is what we're going to do. No matter what happened in the first half, this is what we're going to do the second half to win. And everybody's, yes, let's go. And a lot of times they can turn it around and win. And that's how it is with us today. We are looking forward to what God is going to do.
Jesus' name.
Amen?
Yes.
We honor the past. We honor people that were involved in the past. We honor Pastor Bill. We never take away from honoring another individual from the past. But we move forward to the things that God has for us now.